News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The National Maternity Hospital's former master has been raising concerns about the HSE's clinical practice guidelines in respect of labour, and particularly on the definition of latent and established labour. In other words, the crossing point wherein the woman is told you can go home, or rather you need to be in the hands of midwives and obstetricians. He's with us this morning. Peter, it is obviously a clinically technical area. Can you explain what your concerns are?
Yes. Labour, the first stage of labour is up to 10 centimetres dilation. And when a woman is having regular strong contractions and the cervix is 1 centimetre dilated, she is in labour. What the guideline is saying is that she should not be admitted to the labour ward until she is 4 centimetres dilated, in other words, 40% of the way completing the journey of the first stage. The guidelines also say that you do not need to institute intense fetal monitoring of the baby until 4 centimetres, and also that it is perfectly acceptable for a woman to go home until she is 4 centimetres. Now, there are two aspects of that. First of all, how on earth is a woman supposed to know at home that she has crossed the threshold to beyond 4 centimetres? It's impossible for her to know at home. So she's wondering, should I go back in? Will I be sent home again? And also on antenatal wards, women are rolling around in pain and being told, you're not in established labour yet. We can't send you over to the labour ward. In other words, you cannot access adequate pain relief, for example, an epidural. So those are the two sort of major concerns that I would have: safety from the point of view of fetal monitoring, and pain relief and suffering from the point of view of mothers.
Now, Peter, what you're describing,
also, guidelines don't make any distinction between a first and second and subsequent labours, which tend to be very different. For example, about 60% of mothers on their first baby will deliver their babies within about 8 hours if they're admitted into the labour ward, whereas a woman having their second or subsequent babies, 90% of them will deliver within 6 hours. So there's very good evidence that there's a huge difference between first and second labours.
Now, I would have thought, Peter, that what you're describing there for a lot of women, that will be a familiar experience from over the past several years, that thing of being told, until you get to the point of contractions being within a certain distance of each other, you're safe to go home, you're safe not to be in the labour ward. And that has been largely established practice, has it not?
Up to a point. But what the new guidelines are saying is that it's okay not to monitor the fetus intensely and not to admit a woman to the labour ward until she's 4 centimetres dilated, which means that they're lying around the antenatal wards, are being sent home, and women having their second or subsequent babies are sometimes delivering in ambulances, sometimes having unplanned home births, because they have been told, no, you're not in labour, it's okay to go home. You're not in established labour. And the Ockenden report makes very clear, with a whole series of catastrophic outcomes with baby deaths and severely traumatised mothers, that a theme right across the timeline of the review was women being told, you're not in established labour yet, so we're not going to do what should be done.
Now,
that is my problem.
Does there need to be a Rubicon threshold defined wherein you increase the level of care and attention that the woman gets? Therefore, she, to some extent, has to spend some period of time in labour in a less intensely monitored situation, or is that implicitly a risk?
That is implicitly a risk. If a woman's cervix is 1 centimetre dilated and she's getting strong contractions, she is in labour and she needs to be in the labour ward, monitored and cared for by midwives and doctors working together, not in separate units. I think this idea of midwifery-led units and doctor-led, consultant-led units is a bad idea. Midwives and doctors need to work together in cooperation. Now, the HSE will probably say, oh, well, this is international best practice to not to admit women until they're 4 centimetres. Well, when the evidence changes, you need to change your international best practice. And the evidence is overwhelming. both from the Ockenden reports and other reports from the UK, and my own experience from dealing with coroner's cases, inquests, and medical legal cases, where the latent phase concept and idea that a woman doesn't need to be monitored or in the labour ward until she's 4 centimetres or more is quite frankly dangerous.
If you have, if you're citing personal experience from coroner's reports and courts and inquests, Peter, does that mean that you have seen situations in the Irish system wherein mothers and babies have been harmed by this practice?
Yes. And there's also, if you talk to a lot of women, you'll find that a lot of them are traumatized by their experience, particularly on their first baby, because they've been a long time suffering with an awful lot of pain, but denied access to the labor ward to adequate amounts of pain relief. And when they do get over to the labor ward, they tend to be exhausted, dispirited, and just want the whole thing over. So there's a lot of trauma out there among women who have been subjected to this philosophy and ideology about how you should manage care for women in the early stages of labour.
Will it have a significant impact on the system's capacity, both in terms of ward access and team access, if women go from, I assume it means on first pregnancies particularly, doubling the length of time that they would be directly in the hands of the multidisciplinary team that you're recommending?
No, quite the opposite, in fact. If you look at the evidence that I said just a few minutes ago, about 60% roughly of women having their first baby will deliver within 8 hours if they are admitted to the labour ward when they are in labour. In other words, from 1 centimetre onwards. Whereas if the latent phase, so-called, is allowed to go on for 12 hours, and so what's happening, and has happened in the UK, is that in midwifery-led units, women are spending 12 hours or more, and then they're transferred into the consultant-led unit, where they then almost inevitably will end up with the forceps or vacuum delivery or a cesarean section, which would not have been necessary had they been admitted to the labour ward earlier when they were in labour. In other words, when the cervix is 1 centimetre dilated, and get on with it. If a woman is either in labour or she's not in labour, and this division of latent phase and established labour is actually harmful to women and unfortunately to babies sometimes.
But it is seen by your clinical colleagues and the broader public as a universal truth. It is the assumed precedent and has been for decades. Why is it, how is it that the system, by your view, has gotten it so wrong?
Well, because the evidence has changed, and when the evidence changes, you change your guidelines. And the evidence from the UK reports and from Irish experience and is that the latent phase concept and introducing this idea into practice, which dates from the 1950s, from an obstetrician in New York who monitored 100 women having their first babies, and then it slowly became established in practice. But when I was a medical student, we used to hear horror stories of women being 24, 48 hours and longer in labour. And that was because of the passive approach, which is what is happening now with the introduction of these things into the guidelines. And establishing them in the guidelines creates a risk that when things go wrong, which they inevitably will do, people will be able to say, well, I was only following the guidelines. And that creates a huge risk, both from the compassionate and clinical outcome point of view, but also from a litigation point of view, which the state, in terms of the State Claims Agency and the Department of Health and the Minister and so on, need to be aware of. Which is another day's work altogether, but a consequence of what is beginning to happen in Irish hospitals.
Peter, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Peter Boylan, former Master of the National Maternity Hospital. And we're going to be returning to this topic a little bit later in the show with an obstetrician and gynecologist at the Rotunda. So if you have any questions or comments, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or of course on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.